Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
All right, welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
So you said you got something to...
Well, yeah, the Democrats are having their convention, as you all know, and they're quite a patriotic bunch, if you don't mind me saying. Yesterday, the Democrat Women's Caucus had a meeting, and they opened up with the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. I'd just like you to hear a little bit of the National Anthem because it was so inspirational. Cut 13.
Okay, here we go. All right, you ready?
All right.
What is that?
That was the Democrat Women's Caucus singing the national anthem. So I know that the Democrat Party is the party of abortion. They have no qualms about killing unborn children. Also, in general, although it's not specifically listed in this particular platform, but it has been in several Democrat states, they're the party of euthanasia. They don't mind killing people that are older. I think this is a ploy because what they're doing is now – what they can do is they can sing them to death.
Sing them to death.
Yeah, well,
that was singing.
That was, yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Who was that again?
It was a Democrat Women's Caucus starting their caucus meeting.
They need to skip that and go right to the meeting.
I'm thinking.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen,
no preliminaries.
I can't sing well.
You
so
can be better than that,
guess
probably.
What? Guess what? I don't sing in public.
I just think you aren't very patriotic, but that's fine.
You mean we need to look past?
I don't think
it's
you heard
content,
that.
Guys.
You
it's
didn't hear that. I don't think you were getting a little late.
Were
they, the headphones?
So
on.
those what we just heard was actually on stage at the Democrat National Convention.
It was in the caucus meeting, so it was in a other room. Oh. There's probably I don't know what.
Yeah, I was going to say they're not going to put that on the.
I heard enough to be glad that I didn't hear the rest.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. That's right.
All right.
All right. Hey, if I could get to something fairly serious as well. This was a news release from the Department of Homeland Security, the Inspector General there. And just take note that it was released in the middle of the Democrat National Convention. Let me just read this. As of May 2024, ICE, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement, had not served a notice to appear or scheduled a court date for more than 291,000 unaccompanied children. At each ICE location we visited, enforcement and removal operations, the people that take care of scheduling all this, could not serve notices to appear on all unaccompanied children. At one location we visited, 34,823, that's 84% of 41,000 unaccompanied children in the local area had not been served notices to appear to initiate immigration proceedings. Listen to this. Without an ability to monitor the location and status of unaccompanied children, ICE has no assurance that these unaccompanied children are safe from trafficking, exploitation, or forced labor. The Biden border policy has put some 34,000 unaccompanied children in danger of being trafficked in the United States.
So, okay, this is the first I've heard.
I know, I just
heard
this.
Okay, so no, that's all right. I can't read and talk at the same time. I can walk and talk at the same time.
That's I was going to say you not, can.
You're not doing it, at
but
present,
I'm not. But I'm not doing it at present. So that number, 34,000 per what? That's per month.
That's one location. Of where they're holding unaccompanied children or processing unaccompanied children.
Okay, and so that number of children are just going to be released into the interior of the United States, not knowing where they're going?
That's just at one of those centers. ICE has not served a notice to appear to more than 291,000 unaccompanied children. They're generally released with the people that brought them in.
Oh, I see.
Which, in some cases, are mom and dad, but in a lot of cases, are traffickers, coyotes.
Well, and you don't, and there's no real way of knowing whether the people who claim to be mom and dad are actually mom or dad.
There's a way, but they can't do a DNA test, you know, on all those people.
Right, but so the answer is no, they don't.
No, they don't know.
So, wow, that's
no assurance that these unaccompanied children are safe from trafficking, exploitation, or forced labor.
Wow.
That's a tragic, the tragedy that's taking place at our border. That's just horrible.
Parents, that is
parents
all
without
the feet,
their kids.
All at the feet of, parents. Of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Even if these kids are not trafficked, kids can't take care of themselves. Some of these kids are very young. We've all seen pictures. I don't know what the breakdown is in terms of age, but you know, you're 8 years old, 9 years old, whatever. Even if you're 13 years old, You do not know how to take care of yourself. So even if they're not trafficked, which would be horrifying in and of itself, how do these kids survive? This is terrible. And this is coming from a political party and the progressive movement in this country that already hates unborn children. And now they don't really care because of their policy of open borders. They don't care what happens to the ones who have been born. And are coming streaming into this country.
Yep.
Wow.
Did y'all talk about Robert F. Kennedy?
No,
we did not.
So there's some talk going around. RFK Jr., he knows he's not going to win the White House. His vice presidential candidate,
Nicole Shanahan.
Nicole Shanahan. She was talking on a podcast, and she says there's a couple options they have, because if they stay in and they get a certain percentage of the vote, they can form an official party, which gives them a whole – they don't have to fight for ballot space then. They don't have to it saves them a ton of money. But the other possibility they're saying is joining the Trump campaign. I want you to hear, this is vice presidential candidate – Nicole Shanahan talking on this podcast, Cut 14.
There's two options that we're looking at. And one is staying in, forming that new party, but we run the risk of a Kamala Harris and Waltz presidency because we draw votes from Trump, or we draw somehow more votes from Trump. Or we walk away right now and join forces with Donald Trump and you know, we walk away from that and we explain to our base why we're making this decision.
So this is the vice presidential candidate. This isn't just rumor. They're actually thinking about this.
Well, and she also was talking about the Democratic Party's sabotage of their campaign. I don't know if we have sound on this. Otherwise, I'll just read it.
Just read it.
She said they have banned us, shadow banned us, kept us off stages, manipulated polls, used lawfare against us, sued us in every possible state. They've even planted insiders into our campaign to disrupt it and to create actual legal issues for us. And she said, and she's a former Democratic donor. This Shanahan is a tech entrepreneur and an attorney. She says, as a former Democratic donor, she is so disappointed. Those are her words. That she ever helped the Democratic Party. She's said what we say on this show, and that is that your old Democratic Party is this Democratic Party is not like the party of Robert F. Kennedy or John F. Kennedy.
In fact,
it's influenced by the squad.
J.D. Vance said the same thing, actually, in talking about the possibility of JFK or RFK Jr. joining the campaign, Cut 7.
Well, I think it would be good for the campaign, Brian, and I've never talked to RFK about this, but my pitch to him and to a lot of his voters would be the Democratic Party of my grandparents that supported his uncle, John F. Kennedy, for president has been completely abandoned by the modern leadership of the Democratic Party. I mean, that was a party that believed in strong borders. That was a party that believed in building and making things in America, that believed in a strong national security, and really believed that we were all part of the same American family. I think the current Democratic leadership has gone so far in the leftward direction, that RFK and that kind of Democrat is no longer welcome in the modern Democratic Party. I hope he, like Tulsi Gabbard, endorses the president, gets on the team, because this is about saving the country.
Well, listen, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I knew who he was. Most everybody knows who he is. What I'm saying is, I knew who he was when he first announced he was going to run for president. But now he initially was going to run against Biden, right? On the Democrat ticket, right?
Yes, he did run. Yes. He tried to run for Democrat nomination.
And then he realized, hey, this isn't going to happen. I'm going to go independent.
Correct.
Right.
Right. So, but I would hear people talk who are conservatives, and they would say, well, he's good on this and that, but he's terrible on this and the other. You know what I'm saying? Talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I have heard him speak. He seems like a reasonable person, right? And
he'd be your old school Democrat. He is from his dad's right. and uncle's
it's,
party.
It's different than when you're referencing Biden. You can't find any common ground with him.
Right, 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 right.
Whereas
with RFK Jr.,
there was some common ground.
You can. I was hearing RFK Jr. speak on the question of abortion. I'm assuming he's a Roman Catholic like the rest of his family. Right? I don't know that, but he sounded like he was really doing some soul searching. He didn't say. I think he said, you know, the government ought to stay out of it, but he wasn't like, I don't understand the. He wasn't like dismissive of the argument that the unborn baby is a human being. You know, he wasn't dismissive out of hand or sarcastic about it or anything right. like that. So I just wondered, well, maybe he's thinking about this, you know. But now on the issues of vaccination, forced vaccinations.
He could even help some people on our side on that one.
How would you? You studied that. How would you properly define where he is on that? Or
with the two or three interviews I saw on it, I'd give him an A+.
His anti-vaccination feelings go beyond the COVID vaccine to all vaccines.
Yeah. He was talking about this
issue. And the lockdown. He was against lockdowns too.
So. Yeah, that too. He was very strong. He would be with us on the COVID stuff, but he. I believe he's also has questions about the MMR vaccine you give to kids before they enter kindergarten and that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, he was talking about forced vaccinations way prior to COVID.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
I think he wrote a book on it. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's been. Now, he has explained that I'm not anti-vax. I just have serious concerns about the necessity of vaccination. The efficacy of it, do they actually work, and the potential harmful effects. He does not support allowing what he calls big pharma to be immune from lawsuits, which is not just because of COVID. Ronald Reagan, I think, way back in 84 or 86, signed a bill into law that protects and gives these pharmaceutical companies immunity from lawsuits. Okay, so he's also opposed to ongoing wars overseas. He has great concerns about the military-industrial complex. He has very deep concerns about the NSA and the CIA doing illegal things overseas and spying on American citizens in this country. He has great concerns about our privacy.
So what you're just describing may be why
this is why they sabotaged him.
Yes. The Democrat structure was so opposed to him.
Yes. Especially running against President Biden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And so, as far as I know, in listening to some of these interviews, he has great concerns with big corporations putting their thumbs on the scales of elections. Okay. So that's going to draw. He has a very strong libertarian streak.
Uh-huh.
Which come out of a mixture of the conservative movement and the liberal movement and kind of making a third way. So that's why he's increasingly popular even amongst conservatives and other libertarians.
People respect an independent thinker that are honest about things.
Like you, Steve.
just
I
like
respect
me.
You because you're an independent thinker.
Thank you. I am an independent thinker, boss. I think independently that everything you say about AFA and my life is correct. Right. Independently, just
anyway, I think this is fascinating because it's clear that politically, this ticket of RFK Jr. / Shanahan, that they realize the fix is in. I mean, they are not going to be able to win the election.
I think that's a fix.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a fix. I mean,
in terms of the Democratic Party sabotaging them and trying to keep them off ballots, they've been sued by the Democrats to keep them off the ballot.
That's what you mean by fix.
By fix. So what they don't want is to draw votes away from Trump. This appears to be what Shanahan was saying.
So you think, Steve, that RFK Jr. may endorse Donald Trump?
His campaign is strongly considering it. If they sense that, again, the path for them is to stay on and hope to get a certain percentage, 13%, something like that, of the vote, if they can get that percentage, then the Federal Election Commission considers them an established party.
But that would be for the next election.
For the next election, right. But then whoever they run, if it's not RFK, it's whoever they run, won't have to fight to get on the ballot in all the states. They're automatically qualified because they're an established political party in the United States, major party.
Okay. They're talking about the campaign of RFK Jr., which I don't know. Is he registered in how many states? Does anybody know his campaign? Because you got to work to get registered. You can't just...
And there are restrictions, I think. If you're not an official party, that's the point that Steve's making here, and that Nicole Shanahan, the vice presidential running mate, that's the point. Part of the point she's making is in order to automatically be put on ballots, you have to be an official party. So the Green Party can get on ballots if they have a candidate, even though they might have only gotten 1% in the last election because they're an officially registered party. But if you're not an officially registered party, to get on a ballot, I think each state has restrictions on what your poll numbers are, and they're just not high enough to do that.
Unlike, this is reading from CBS News, unlike the Republican and Democrat presidential nominees, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has faced a costly and time-consuming process to appear on general election ballots as an independent candidate. Rules vary from state to state, like you were saying, but independent candidates typically have to collect thousands of signatures to be supported by a minor party in order to apply for the ballot access. He opted to run as an independent in October. He's abandoned that question. I'm trying to see if they have the number of states. So far, Kennedy's on the ballot in two of the seven battleground states.
All right, so he's not on the ballot very many places. It doesn't sound like to me, which makes him an absolute non-factor.
Right.
There's been some talk too in terms of stuff that I'm reading that if RFK Jr. were to do this, and that by this I mean drop out and endorse Trump, that he might find a spot in the Trump administration.
He could.
A quid pro quo?
Well, it would be, you could say to an ally, this is what you really care about. I'll put you in charge of the NIH.
About the quid pro quo.
I don't know that he'd be
the way of the world. I'll trade you for you. Yeah. Trump likes trading.
Yeah.
Getting a deal, right? Part of the deal.
Here's where I think you probably name him as ambassador to England or France or something.
I don't think RFK Jr. would want that. I think he would want a substantial role in overseeing the Health and Human Services or something.
CIA, FBI, intelligence agencies don't want him there.
Be in charge of bringing these intelligence agencies to heel if they're doing illegal things overseas and illegally spying on Americans.
Has he ever commented on his uncle's death as far as whether he thinks that's a cover-up or not?
Yes.
What does he say?
He thinks it was the CIA.
That killed John F. Kennedy?
I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast with
him. He asked him that question?
And he did ask him that, and he said that my uncle said he was going to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces, and soon after that, he was assassinated. I don't know that he came right out and said it was the CIA, but that
he made the correlation.
He's also going to break up the military-industrial complex, and there's always been rumors that it was CIA in association with the military-industrial complex. And that by that, I mean all these big corporations who build tanks and jets and all that kind of stuff. And
they wanted him dead, you say? That's what he says?
That's what RFK Jr. said.
He says that out loud, huh?
Yes. And actually said out loud, he said, I do fear for my life. He said the same people that killed my uncle, he said, might try to kill me.
Did Lee Harvey Oswald ever... I should know this. Maybe I did and I forgot it. Did he ever state him? Well, he didn't have a. He didn't have. He was
he
shot.
Much of a chance.
He was shot by Jack Ruby, right? So, and then Jack Ruby died in prison.
Yeah, right.
But so Lee Harvey Oswald was thought to be the shooter. Some people say there was more than one of John F. Kennedy.
He was the guy up in the bookstore depository.
Right. Yeah, but did he? But did he ever? Was he ever quoted as saying he did it? Or
never even made it to trial.
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Or state any kind of motive or anything like that?
It was. I think it was within a day or two of these.
Yes, he was being transferred from a jail cell, I guess, into federal custody.
When he was shot.
He was shot.
Yeah, so that's why the mystery continues after all these decades.
Yeah.
What is it that Trump was asked about and about releasing the JFK files? You remember?
No. RFK? Oh, JFK files.
Remember this is asked of him or others?
Because I think that I shouldn't say this. There are people who spend all their waking moments studying this. I think I remember.
I skipped the whole football season studying this, and I regret but I didn't. I ended up at the same place.
We have far off of show prep, guys. Y'all have lost me.
I am going to skip the whole hockey season this year
to study this conspiracy.
You're one up.
I think that there are records that have remained sealed or redacted well beyond the time when they should be.
Yeah.
Because there are the conspiracy theorists say it's because there's stuff in there that
points to the CIA or the FBI as being involved. JFK, John F. Kennedy, he was a president of the United States right before Lyndon Johnson.
He was shot. Mm-hmm. Well before they tried to shoot.
Listen, I was
Trump.
Born. Yeah. So I was born that year. So that's how far back we go here. Yeah, all right. We're just about out of time. Steve, folks, a lot of people, I was looking at the podcast numbers the other day, and American Family News is starting to climb and climb and climb. So you want to tell people listening how they can get American Family News?
AFN.net. Almost all of the stories that we cover here on the show, with the exception of some of the
And the newscast.
Stuff, and the newscast can be found at AFN.net. And I tell you, we just saw some numbers. There are millions of people around this country and around the world that are now tuning in to American Family News or looking at AFN.net.
Okay,
just amazing.
AFN.net.
AFN.net.
All right, have a great day, everybody. See you tomorrow.